Amen. Amen. God is good, huh? Amen. God is really good, and he loves you guys so much. He loves you guys so much, and he loved you so much that he sent his son to the cross to die for you, to pay your debt, because really, all of you guys deserve hell, but God made a way. Jesus Christ made a way so that you could know him and make him known. All right, did anyone go through any deserts this week? Did you love it? Both. Deserts are coming. They will come. Remember, deserts are coming. And I want someone to come up, and he's going to share kind of a desert he went through this week. Because I want you guys to see how powerful that the Word of God is. How powerful saying scripture is. How powerful believing God more than you believe yourself. So I want you guys to listen to this man, because he made it through the desert this week. Okay? So listen to him. Listen to what he has to say. So Jordan, come up here. All right, dude.
So a couple nights ago, I was laying in bed listening to music, and I started getting really depressed, and I just started thinking that no one loved me, and everyone hated me, and all my sins that I know the Lord has forgiven me for just dropped on me, and I started thinking I was a really bad person, and I thought I had no reason to live, and I thought about killing myself, and depression was something I used to struggle with a lot. I used to cut myself when I felt alone or depressed, and that night I was really feeling that I wanted to cut myself, and but I remembered last week about Peter saying, don't love the desert, and so I kept on thinking that, and all of a sudden I remembered that I have the 180 podcast, so I ran to my kitchen, I got the my iPod, and I plugged them into my iPod jack, and I listened to last week's about 7 times, and after that I just started praying, and I just started saying that I love the desert, I love the desert. I said that a million times, and then I said it until I finally fell asleep. The next day I spent as much time in prayer as I could and just trying to be with the Lord. I went to school and my friends pretty much kicked the rest of the depression stuff out of me. And Peter, I came here today when, I think it was a couple nights ago, I texted him and told him how I was feeling. And he prayed for me. And today we were talking and he was telling me how I won and stuff, and that made me real felt, it made me feel real good. And pretty much I just thank the Lord that he helped me win this, and yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's why you guys need to get the podcast. That's why you guys need to get the Word of God constantly getting poured into you. Because the deserts will come. They will come. The deserts will come. And if you weren't here last week, you need to get that message, that the love of the deserts, because the deserts will come. And the deserts are dry, they're hot, they're uncomfortable. You can get tired really quick in the desert. And if you're not equipped, if you don't have the right things with you, you're going to die in the desert. And you guys don't want to die in the desert, because it's in the desert that giant slayers are made. It's in the desert where you come out and you realize how much faith you really did have, that you made it through the desert. I want Jordan, he made it through the desert. Yeah, come on. He made it through the desert. And I want you to see that he used spiritual weapons to fight this depression. That usually when this depression would come, it would lead him to cutting himself. It would lead him to going to places where he could not come back for literally 4 months, right? 4 or 5 months, he would not come back. But the word of God started getting into his spirit, and he started believing the word of God more than he believed himself. Because when you're in the desert, like I said last week, you can see things that are not there. You can see mirages. You can see things that look real, but they're not. And so the devil, the demonic forces came, and they started speaking to Jordan. They started telling him, you're worthless. They started telling him, you're not good enough. They started speaking this to him. And if Jordan was not equipped, if Jordan did not go to the word of God, and he did not go to seeking the Lord, he would have believed it. Because he would have believed the devil over, because he was seeing it, and he was starting, like, it looked real. It looked real. It looked like it was really happening, but it wasn't. It wasn't true. And that's what will happen to you guys. You'll begin to see things that are not there. You'll begin to see things that are, that they perceive, they look so real, but they're not. And that's why you need to fix your eyes on Christ. You need to fix your eyes on him, the author, perfecter, finisher of your faith. Because if you do not fix your eyes on him, you're gonna get distracted in the desert. And if you get distracted in the desert, you can get lost really easily. And you have to love the desert. It shows you how much faith you really had. It showed Jordan how much faith he really had. Because Jordan, you have a lot of faith. And you developed more perseverance through that hard time. So when that hard time comes again, when the demonic forces come back and they're like, you're worthless, you're nothing, you know, they start speaking their stupid stuff, you can tell them, no, I remember this. I remember when they did this. You're stupid. Shut up, devil. You can tell them to shut up. You know, be rude to the devil. It's okay. And so you tell him to just shut his mouth. And you tell him who you really are in Christ. Then you tell him, in Jesus' name, get out of here. Because there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's power. There's authority. There's authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And so you have to love the desert. Deserts are coming. And do not be surprised, young people. Do not be surprised if tomorrow you walk into the desert. Do not be surprised. Because it's promised in Scripture that deserts are coming. It's promised. You know, it says, do not be surprised by trials. Do not be surprised. They're going to happen. There's going to be hard times. But it's through those hard times that you develop perseverance. You develop more faith. You see who you really are. You see who you really are. And so love the desert, guys. Love it. Even though it's super hard. I know it's hard. It's hard being in a desert. It's like you're sweating profusely. And you don't know where you are most of the time. And you're like, and you're starving for water. And you're barely making it. But you make it. Because God will not give you anything that you can't handle. God will not tempt you. God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will not let you. Now, you can put yourself in situations where you can be tempted beyond what you can bear. But anything, temptation that God allows will not overcome you. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? Greater is he. And so, recognize that it's a trial. You know, don't be, whoa, where'd this desert come from? Recognize that it's going to happen. Hard times are going to come. And don't be surprised by it, young people. Don't be surprised if there's a hard time and it happens tomorrow. Don't be surprised. Don't go like, whoa, where'd this come from? You know, just say, okay, this is a hard time. God, maybe God's trying to teach me something through this. Don't be surprised. And that's why you guys need to equip yourself now. You guys need to equip yourself now. You need to get ready now before the desert comes. Because You don't want to be ill-equipped and go into the desert without water. Because if you go in the desert without water, if you go into the desert without living water, you're going to die. And so you need to begin now. You need to be praying. You need to be worshiping. You need to be spending time in your word and just getting ready for the desert, because they're going to come. It's going to happen. There's no way around it. Deserts are going to come. Hard times are going to come. But hard times, deserts are where giant slayers come from. That's where they come from. And so tonight, we're going to talk about something that I kind of came across today as I was going to the high school. And really, I'm not supposed to invite people to church, you know, when I'm on the high school grounds. I know I'm not supposed to, but it's really hard. Like, I get there, and there's, like, young people everywhere, and I'm like, I can't handle this. I have to evangelize. And so I talked to a couple people, but I'm not a volunteer there yet, so it's okay. And so I talked to a few people, and I talked to them about coming to my church. I was like, hey, you guys should come to church. You know, it's awesome. God really moves. And, you know, they gave me the standard, you know, psh, 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 you know, it sounds like the air compression thing. And they started, psh, psh, you know, they started doing their thing, you know, started, like, backpedaling on me saying church, like, oh, church. Church is stupid. You know, they started doing that thing. You know why? Because that's a perception. That's how they see the church. That's what they think the church looks like. They think the church is lame. They think the church is irrelevant. There's no point to it. They think the church is full of a bunch of hypocrites that say one thing but live the exact opposite. That's what they think. And so that's why they acted like that when I approached them and I started inviting them to church. And I was like, hey guys, I know normal church is, you know, it's way boring. You know, I know church is usually like you fall asleep, but this church is different. This church is awesome. And I started testifying like how God has been moving and how God has been, you know, changing people and stuff like that. And pretty soon they were like, wow, that's incredible. Wow. You know, their perception started changing. So how do you guys think the world perceives the church? A boring, dull place. How else? People with beards that talk all day. That's awesome. Annoying. A place where everyone tells you what to do. That's awesome. That's really good. Building full of hypocrites. Took yours? Okay. Nope. Greedy. They see the church as greedy. That's good. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Why do you guys think this is? Why do you think this is? It's the way a lot of churches are. Because the devil is telling them lies. Yep. I'll tell you guys why. Religion. Religion. You guys know what religion is? What's religion? Someone tell me what religion is. A checklist. Okay, that's good. What else is religion? A set of rules. Dead. An excuse. Religion is all those things we named. That's what religion is. It's lame. It's a set of rules. It's greedy. You know why? Because that's what happened. The church got religious. The church got out of the place where we forgot the main ingredient of church. We forgot that it was about Jesus. And because of that, that's how a lot of people perceive the church as. That's how I perceive the church as. When I grew up in church, I grew up in a church. I grew up in Assemblies of God. Stop it. Bad sock. Okay. I grew up in, and I was around people that would say one thing, but when they went home, they were really different. I mean, it was, and I saw no reality. I was like, okay, these people are talking to a wall. how the heck does that apply to my life? I saw no relevance to it. And I saw people singing, you know, towards the stage, and I was like, why did they do that? You know? And I saw no reality to it. And all I thought church was about was you have to dress this way, you have to talk like this, you can't listen to that, or you can't watch that, you can't do this, you can't do that, oh, don't do that. You're not Christian if you do that. That's what I saw the church as. But is that what the church is? Is that what it's like here? Is that what it's like here? No, it's not. We got donuts and coffee. Glory. No, there's something real here. And I want to tell you guys, tonight as we were worshiping, what I saw in your guys' faces was exactly what led me to the Lord. That's exactly what led me to the Lord, what I saw on your guys' faces. It was real. It was real to you. It wasn't like someone was forcing you to lift your hands and worship. It wasn't like someone was forcing you to sing. It was real. You realize that there's a real God and that he knows your name and you love him. It's a real thing to you guys, right? It's a real thing to you. Yeah. And what I saw in your guys' faces, all the people like in this and right around here, what I saw on their faces was exactly what led me to the Lord. Because I saw a group of young people, I saw people that were passionate, and that they would say what they want, that what they believed, and they would live it. Like Danny, you are becoming fastly a prayer warrior. I don't know, I don't really know like anyone your age that prays as much as you do, because you constantly, I'll come in on Sunday and Danny will be up in the front just hands raised like praying. It's crazy. And young people, it's real to him. It's real to him. He's not praying to a wall. He's not praying to the stage. He's not praying to my guitar, right? He's praying to God. He could pray to my guitar. That would be really weird. Don't offer sacrifices to my guitar. I'll beat you. Okay. He could be praying to my guitar, but he's not. He believes he's praying to God. And he has passion. He has passion. He has a fervor and zeal to pray to God no matter what, just all the time. And it's real to him. And that's how it needs to be with you. It needs to be real to you. It needs to be a real thing, because that's what draws people to Christ. It's because there's nothing more evangelistic than the Christian life lived out. There's nothing more evangelistic, because if the true life of Christianity is lived out, you're light. You're light in darkness, and you're going to draw people. You're either going to draw people or you're going to push them away. That's the real Christian life, is you're going to be a light. And it's awesome. You guys are starting to get it. I can see it in your faces. You know, I can see it as you guys are worshiping. You guys, there's a glow. There's a passion. There's a zeal. There's a hunger for the things of God. And that's what will draw the world to Christ. When they see there's something real about it. When they see there's a reality, that there's a real God, that he really does help you with your problems. Amen? That he really does care about you. He knows your name. He knows every single one of your guys' names. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows what you did yesterday. He knows what you're about to do. He knows everything about you. There's a real God in heaven, and he knows your name. And that's what will draw people to Christ. It won't be saying something so profound, so eloquent, that people are like, whoa, that person's so smart, I need to become a Christian. That's not what's going to get them to Christ. It's going to be, hey, you struggle with depression. I got set free of depression. Let me pray for you. And you pray for them, and they get set free of depression. That's what will change them. Religion will not change them. Religion, you need to take that shirt off. That has too many designs on it. You have too many. Look at that blue. Look at that blue. That's bad. That cross is faded. It needs to be solid. Beat you with my Bible later. And so that's not going to change anyone, right? Mac's going to go home and be like, man, I'm not a Christian because I don't have the right shirt, you know? And so You can, but don't, please. I don't care. I like your shirt, remember? I told you. Okay. And so that will not change anyone. But what will change people is when they see something real about it, when they see that it's real, that God exists, and that God is good. When they see that in your life, that's what's going to draw them to Christ, and that's what's going to change their perception of the church. When we begin to be different, because you guys, you're not going to fit in anymore if you live the Christian life. If you live sold out, if you live for God, not turning back, you're going to be different. There's no way around it. People are going to look at you strange. They're going to think you're weird because you don't talk very much, because the only time you do talk is when it's encouraging and uplifting. That's the only time you talk. And so you begin to speak differently. You begin to walk differently. You begin to act differently. And that's what will bring people to Christ, because they'll see that you're a light. They'll see that God is in you. They'll see that there's something real, that it's not just, you know, you have to go to church. You know, it's Wednesday night. I got to go to church. I got to go church. You know? People aren't going to get changed because of that. People are going to get changed when you come here and you're hungry. And you're ready to worship, and you come up to the front, and you say, I'm worshiping God. There's a hard circumstance in my life right now, but I don't care. God is worthy, and you worship Him no matter what. People will get changed by that, because they see the passion. They know that, you know, your parent just died the other day, and they see you worshiping anyway, and they're like, whoa, what the heck? You know, that's what will change people. It's not religion. You know, your guys' goal is not to stop sinning. That's not your goal. Your goal is to love God. Your goal is to love Jesus Christ. And then you'll stop sinning. Because if you love God, you're going to do what He wants. If you love God, if you love Him with everything within you, you're not going to do those things that break His heart. We have to remember why we do what we do. We have to remember why we do what we do. It's to see people fall in love with their Savior. It's to love God and love people. That's why we do what we do. So that people can come into this place and they can get set free. They can come into this place and they're riddled with drugs. They're riddled with alcoholism. And they come into this place and God touches their life, and they get prayed for, and they get set free. That's why we do what we do. That's what happened to me. With you too. I came into the ministry straight off drugs. When I came into Turning Point, I was like the raw of raw. Okay, I was a raw Christian. I was coming. I was still listening to my punk rock music. I was still like, you know, I was still hanging out with my punk rock friends, and I was still kind of addicted to drugs. And I came in, and I saw people living it out, and I was like, okay, I've been to church all my life, and I've never seen this. I've never seen people genuinely worship God like they are right now. And that's what changed me. That's when I started believing in God, because I was like, okay, these people are believing in something. They're freaking out right now. They're like jumping up and down. They're like spinning. What the heck is going on right now? Yeah. And so I see that. I saw the passion in their lives. And I was like, okay, there's got to be something. There's got to be something, because those people are genuine. And that's what changed me. And I didn't want to do drugs after that. I didn't want to do drugs. I got saved, and I started loving God, and I started following Him. And I was like, you know, God's Spirit is so much better than any high I've ever had. Screw drugs. God is so much better. And so I started just throwing these things out of my life, not because the pastor was saying, you have to stop doing drugs, you young man, you're a bad influence. It's not what he said. I wanted to stop doing drugs because I knew it hurt God's heart, and I knew it hurt me. And so I stopped doing drugs. I stopped listening to music that did not glorify God, not because I had to, but because I was like, you know, this music that I'm listening to, it really pulls me back to who I used to be. And so I'm not going to listen to this because it's pulling me back, and I don't want to go back because I saw what happened back there, and that track record's not so good. I was running like an 18-minute mile. That's not good. And so I was looking back, and I was like, that's not so good. You know, I don't really want to go back to there. All right, music on. I'm only going to listen to worship. I'm only going to listen to Christian music because that's the only way I can get closer to God, you know, and I don't need that music anyway. And I'm not saying secular music is bad. Some of it is good. But if it influences you, then it is bad. If it pulls you away from your Savior, then it's bad. Because it becomes an idol. It becomes something before God. And so, we need to change people's perception of the church. They need to see that it's real in our lives. They need to see that it's something that we really do believe in. That it's not something we're making up in our head. It's not something that we thought was a good idea. But it exists. That there's a God in heaven, and he knows their name. We need to change people's perception of the church. Because that's how they see the church right now. They see it as dead, irrelevant, a bunch of rules, a checklist. That's what they see the church as. Are you guys with me? Right? Because it starts with you. It starts with me. I have to change this in my life before I try to change anyone else. And so you guys, let's do this. Let's change people's perception of what they think the church is. Because church is not a set of rules. Amen? Amen? It's not a set of rules. Church is not boring. Amen? Amen. What Pastor Calvin brings is life. He brings the word of life. He brings what he feels like the Lord is speaking to him. And if the Lord is speaking through him, it means it probably applies to your life. And it's the same thing with Wednesday nights. I'm giving you guys what I feel like the Lord is speaking to me. You know, I don't want Peter to speak. I want God to speak through me. I don't want, you know, my words to come across. I want God's words to come across. Because I'm not here to make myself famous. I'm not here to see you guys are like, oh, Peter's so awesome. No, don't do that. If you do that, I'll beat you. I will. But if you guys get focused on me, that's a problem. That's why you guys need to focus on him. And you need to focus on that I believe God is speaking through me every Wednesday night, that God is speaking through me, and that he's using my words, and that he's speaking through me so that you guys, when you get the word, when those times come, when those deserts come, you say, I love the desert. I love the desert. I love the desert. It's really hard, but I love the desert. I love the desert. Yeah, a million times. Amen. And so you begin to get the word, and you believe that God is speaking through me. And you come to church with a different perspective, that you believe that God is speaking through whoever's speaking that night, that whoever's speaking, God is speaking through them. And you come and you're hungry. You're hungry for the word because you know that you need it. Because if you don't have the word, you're done. You need to know what God's word is for you. And I believe the word for you tonight is we need to change the perception of the church. And you guys, in your lives, you guys need to change the perception of the church. No longer, young people, can we just live as Christians Wednesday night. We have to live as Christians every single day of the week. When you guys go back to school tomorrow, you need to live as Christians. Right? I know you've heard me say this before, but we can come into this place and we can act all holy. We can act like we got it all together. You know, we can jump around. We can do backflips for Jesus. But I'm more interested in what you guys are doing tomorrow. You know, how you're living your faith tomorrow. You know, are you joining gossiping, slanderous conversations tomorrow? Are you speaking life into your friends? How are you speaking to your parents? That's what I'm interested in. Because too long, young people, has Christians done this? Too long have Christians lived one way at the church and gone home and lived a completely opposite life. That saves no one. It didn't save me. Nope. I went as far away from the church as I could because of that. I didn't believe in God anymore because of that. Because I saw people living their lives completely opposite of what they said. And I was like, screw this. I don't want that. I don't want that. If it's not real to them, how can it be real to me? Yeah. And so when you guys go on your campus tomorrow, and this is kind of what I did today when I went onto the high school campuses, I kind of freaked out a little bit. I was like, there's so many young people. I can't get them all. What am I going to do? And then I calmed down, and I was like, okay, hold on. Reel it in. Reel it in. You guys are in the farm, right? You like fishing? Reel it in. I know. But I started reeling it in, and I was like, okay, hold on. I can't hit them all, but I can hit the ones God speaks to me. So I was like, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? And I walked by a few people, and then I saw a group, and it kind of stood out, so I was like, okay, I'll go talk to them. And so I went to talk to them, and those are the groups that, you know, and they said they'd probably check it out, and I think I only talked to a couple other people, but other than that, I didn't talk to anyone else. So you guys cannot hit every single person on your campus, so don't get overwhelmed. Don't be like, oh man, there's so many people, how am I going to hit every single one of them? You know, don't go to that place, because I almost went to that place today, and I was like, okay, hold on a second. I can only hit the ones God tells me to. And so that's how you go and evangelize. You say, okay, God, who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to speak life into? And you guys begin to change the perception of the church, where you go up to people and you go, hey, you want to come to church? It's pretty cool. No, you go up to them and you're like, hey, you guys got to go to church. You know why? Because God will speak to you. God will speak to your life, and he'll change your life. You know, oh, you struggle with depression? You need to come to church tonight because you'll get set free. When you talk to people like that, they'll be like, oh, God sets people free. I should go to church because God sets people free. And so that's how you begin to talk to people. You talk to people differently. You guys have to change the perception of the church. And I'm with you guys, okay? It's not like I'm telling you guys to go do something and I'm like, you know, go evangelize to the world, change the world. You know, and I'm like sitting in my office like doing nothing. No, I'm evangelizing to people too. I'm talking to people about Christ. I'm getting rejected too. You know, I'm getting the psh, 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 you know. Yeah, and where people are like, church, stupid. I don't like church, stupid. You know, you have to endure that sometimes, and it's okay, because they're not rejecting me. They're rejecting Jesus, right? And so don't feel like you have to evangelize to the whole world and I'm doing nothing. I'm with you guys. I'm fighting. If your generation needs to be set free of drugs, they need to be set free of depression. They need to be set free of not viewing themselves right. They need to be set free of not viewing themselves accurately. They need to be set free of that because it's not true. And so let's change the world. Starting with Lebanon and starting with your friends. You know, talk to, even if it's just one person, even if you evangelize just to one person that day, be faithful with it. Be faithful with the one God says, talk to that person. They need hope. They need faith. Talk to that person. Be faithful, young people, and God will give you more. Danny's being faithful. And I promise you, if you stay faithful, God will give you more. He will give you more. And so be faithful with the small things. Be faithful. Win the small battles. The big battles, you know, like Jordan did. He almost, you know, the arrows were flying. They were like, right? And he said, he's like, I love the church, or no, I love the desert.